And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making it cool to be a conservative. Glad to be back in studio today. It's cool to get out and about, but glad to be back. And by the way, I got to mention also, too, in case you did not already know, the most recent edition of the podcast, the new video streaming podcast, the Right Philosophy, it is now up. It went up yesterday. This one is called The Fall of Rome and America. But I'd encourage you to check it out. You can go to our website, rightsideradio.org, soon to be posted in other places as well. But for right now, you can grab them at rightsideradio.org. Video podcast. Me actually at my house. Picture the kind of things I do like in my monologue, but it's video style instead. And anyway, check it out. We're really proud of it. That is edition number, what is that, 5 or 6, man? I forget how many we've done now.
I think it's like 5.
Yeah, I think it's 5. Edition number 5. And we've gotten great reviews on it so far. And love for y'all to check it out. Rightsideradio.org. Go to the podcast, and it's The Right Philosophy, newest episode. Text line is open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text line is being burned up already. Wow. Sometimes Fridays are too quiet on the text line. Other times, you can just tell there's folks engaged. John from Huntsville just chimed in, says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Dan, did you hear? Crazy story about the world's number one golfer, Scottie Scheffler. Apparently, he was headed to the golf course to prepare for round 2. Had a big misunderstanding with a police officer, took place over a non-related traffic incident, and he wound up getting arrested. He put in handcuffs, and and later in an orange jumpsuit. I've not seen all that. It's on the screen right now. It's actually showing up here on the big screens in the studio. So I don't know all the details. Yeah, John, but you're not allowed to have a misunderstanding with a police officer. You don't misunderstand when there's cuffs. But wow, we'll see what happens, man. JT Lacey Springs says White House spokesperson, and he has a meme. He's got a picture of Karine Jean-Pierre wearing a McDonald's outfit. It says, you want some lies with that? As in fries, but lies. You want some lies with that? Yes, I'd like them biggie size, please. Thank you. Jeff from Town Creek says, Phil, great opening. Using biblical truths, we can judge a tree by its fruits. Old Joe is a product of his father. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he rebuked the devil by saying, you are the father of lies. Wow. Yes. T.L. from Huntsville, another truthful monologue, Phil. Luke 8:17 says, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be made known and brought to light. There you have it. Pete from Decatur says, Alvin Bragg, the D.A. who's trying Trump up in New York City right now. By the way, that case is falling apart, just imploding, like in cascades. I mean, I think the emperor has no clothes right now, just saying. But Alvin Bragg, he said, is violating the code of ethics. Rule 3.3 of Alabama states the lawyer cannot offer evidence if he knows to be false. Bragg has done that. Well, first of all, he's not an Alabama lawyer, but generally speaking, yes, most every state's going to have something similar if you know the evidence is false. I don't know how in the world. I think what's happened here, I think what we're finding is Bragg didn't do his due diligence. I don't know if Bragg knowingly put up a liar. Well, he put up a liar. Did he know what he was going to say was a lie? But under cross-examination, Cohen's story fell apart. So I assume that means the DA really didn't do a very good job of making sure he had all the pieces in place and that he had actual credibility to go on the stand. I just look at this whole thing and think, this is a travesty of justice. Richard from Madison says, third reason to lie would be to inflate or stroke your ego as to prove to the ignorant that you are the real hero, i.e. a pure narcissist. Well, now, I may have to add that to the list. Then again, maybe that's still number 2. They think you can't handle the truth about who they really are, so they lie to inflate themselves. Corn Pop is a bad dude. And then Gary from Decatur says, my mother told me it takes 10 more lies to cover up the first one. Eventually, they all come out. Truth. All right, listen, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like, whew, way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Text lines indeed are open. The line is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it, same number for both. Hey, by the way, the first dipper I'm doing is called Do It for the Kids. I'm going to tell you things that they are, some of them are things that they're doing to kids, if you know what I mean. And I look at this, though, and I think we got to, there is no greater asset, resource, gift to our society than our kids. There's not. They are our next generation. They are our future. They are, basically, if you had, you know, a fire in the house, would you save your valuables or your kids? Well, everybody, reasonable person knows the answer to that. You go for the kids. Everything else can be replaced, but your kids are precious. They are a gift from God. And so I say all that to say they also come with a great deal of responsibility. We as adults have to make sure that we have done everything we can to best shepherd this greatest of resources that God has provided to us, and that's our kids. And sometimes it's amazing to me what we have to do to stand in the gap on their behalf. You look at it and go, okay, world, stop. I mean, you may have heard me say a couple of times here, even recently, that I spent a number of years in full-time work with kids, right? Adolescents. I did youth ministry and youth counseling for a good 10 years, full-time. That was my vocation. 7 of those years were on staff with a ministry called Young Life. 3.5 of those years was actually on staff with an adolescent treatment center while I was a Young Life volunteer. But I would see things, like in the treatment center, for instance, I would see things, the kids would come in, and it's not just their diagnosis. You have to look at their circumstances, and you begin to find out and dig into what brought them to the place that they are now here in treatment, and you read their family history, their medical history, and you get inundated with the things that these kids have had to endure. Now, there were times when it was self-inflicted. You'd have a kid who, you know, was a juvenile delinquent and parents just didn't know what else to do. Or you had a kid who was a drug user and the parents weren't the ones. The parents are the ones trying to get them help. But more times than I care to note, I felt like if I could shake some sense into some parents, the kids would be in a better place because the parents were doing nothing to shepherd the issue. Now, that being said, I'm of the belief every once in a while, I was of the belief sometimes that I had seen it all, right? I'd seen everything the world could do to a kid in my estimation, and then the next day a new kid would be admitted and you go, oh my gosh, that's worse than I'd ever seen. I saw victims of abuse. I saw kids who had been abused in ritual proceedings, you know. I saw kids that had been you know, sexually abused, physically abused, mentally and emotionally abused. I saw kids that were the subject of fetal intoxication and were born addicted. I saw kids that, you know, had behavioral disorders because of their version of acting out against their life circumstances. I saw it all, I felt like. And then I kept seeing one more thing. I say all that to say I've got a passion for this, right? I love the idea of reaching kids where they are and finding some means to lift them out of their circumstances. But we have to all have that mindset to some degree. We have to all be willing to take a stand for the things that are impacting our kids right now. I am so proud, by the way, that I love the fact that I personally know 2 members of the State Library Board who have been standing up under a lot of pressure lately. Go figure that the Library Board is going to wind up being controversial. Did anybody see that coming? Big Rig shaking his head. I mean, you look at it and go, it's a library board, man. That's about the most benign thing you could think of. Like, what was that line from the movie The Mummy? Remember that? The female character, she goes, I am a librarian. And everybody's kind of snickered.
Yeah. I forgot libraries existed until, you know, recently.
Well, they're in the center of the headlines now. So the Alabama Public Library Service, I got a story here from 1819 News, came out today. They met yesterday afternoon. And you've been hearing us on the show talk about the fact that, you know, it's become very, very much a thing people are, drag queen story hour in the public library. And then you begin to realize you've got books like Gender Queer and, graphic. And some of them, by the way, are not just graphic in their descriptive terminology. Some of them are graphic in the actual illustrations they use to help try and groom kids. I won't say teach. I'll say groom kids to have an alternative lifestyle. Well, the Public Library Board took comments for the last, 90 days. 6,475 letters. My good friend Amy Minton is on that board, and she took all kinds of heat from liberal media talking about her being an extremist and, them railing about her on social media. And then John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, is also on there and stood his ground. And I'm thankful because what they did yesterday, I think, sets a tone for the entire nation. I think yesterday the Alabama Public Library Service Board became a national entity in a way. It's that big a deal. So here's the thing. They met yesterday. They had 90 days of public comment, which is by law, garnered over 6,475 letters, had multiple public hearings. Over a freaking library and the policies. You would think that the library is like, shall we convert from paper encyclopedias to online? That's what you think would be the thing. No, this was all about why some people are determined to have sexual books in the children's section. For the love of God, man, why do you need to have sexual books in the children's section? Just answer me that. They can't answer it. So the APLS board members met. One of them, a guy named, who is it? Ron Snyder. He did not want to make these amendments. I don't know why that would be. Ron Snyder, pray tell, what is your motivation for opposing the idea of not sexualizing children? I'd like to know Ron Snyder's position. We don't have that in this article. We just have that he was opposed. The board went on, though, to vote in favor of the amendments. And the amendments, by the way, were originally sent over by Governor Ivey's office. So Governor Ivey sent the content. Now, the board did amend her proposed language, not by any stretch watering it down. What they did was they made it more specific. In John Wall's words, they wanted to have the ability to make this something that the librarians knew how to enforce and deal with. So they now have the ability to tell a library that if you're going to keep those books in that section, then guess what? You're going to lose your public funding. Oh, oh, that's going to get them right where it hurts. They got to have policies in place about how to handle sexually explicit material. They've got to approve written guidelines that designate for minors under the age of 18 that there's material free of obscenity and sexually explicit content. They got to have age-appropriate materials regarding history and religion and biology and other human anatomy. They got to have approval of written selection for criteria for minors that prevents the purchase or otherwise acquiring of any material that's deemed to be offensive or obscene. And it goes on and on. Now, Clean Up Alabama is the group that's been fighting for this. They're ecstatic. They formed a group based on the idea of fighting for clean libraries. Clean Up Alabama issued a statement saying they supported these changes, they applaud the changes, and they praise God for this huge win. Read Freely Alabama is the liberal side of this. Read Freely Alabama is the group that came out and said basically these are all extremists, and these are extremist efforts to impose discriminatory beliefs on library patrons, and it's dangerous. Wow. Sore loser much? I've got another article here in my stack somewhere that the folks at Read Freely Alabama just keep striking out. Here it is. This is also an 1819 news. Came out about a week ago. Read Freely Alabama racking up the L's in effort to keep sexually explicit books in the libraries. Yeah, they're losing left and right. This story came out last month. But at Read Freely Alabama is determined to make their legacy one loss after the other. But okay, all I know is this. Our state library board, and you know what? There may be a lawsuit. Who knows? Liberals hate it when they can't get their way. But I would dare say that there's not going to be any means by which this can be overturned. They're going to have to show that they violate the First Amendment in some way for this to be something that can be overturned. Now, the question is going to be, if they file suit, who's the judge? If we get the usual suspect, Judge Myron Thompson down in Montgomery, then at the very least there'll be a court case. But right now the law is set to take effect here very soon. And I think that's an epic move. We'll have John Wall on later, right after the top of the hour, to square us up on some details. Now listen, we're going to take a break right now. When I get back, though, I got a story that is actually pretty disturbing. I'm not going to lie. It is. Like, did you know that your federal tax dollars can now pay for things like chest binders and fake male body parts so that kids can feel like they're changing? Yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, Big Rig, I forgot to tell you what I did last night. After I spoke to the folks over there at AmVets Post 21 in Athens,
yeah,
I went to Bucky's.
Did you see David?
I looked for him, actually. Yeah. In fact, I went to this. They've got this. So okay, one of our texters is David from Bucky's. And so I went in there and thinking, I got to figure out if I can find David. So I walked around and I kept glancing at everybody's name tags. That's not a David. That's not a David. That's not a David. I'm back there. Do you know they have a jerky bar? Like beef jerky?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I've missed this. So I love jerky. So I go back there and it's like, there's all the jerky in the world.
Did you get any?
Yeah, I did. But I also, the guy who served me was David. And I said, hey, I'm sorry. And I was wearing a Right Side Radio shirt. And I said, hey, excuse me, are you the David that listens to the Right Side? And he goes, no. I said, okay. And he goes, there's another David over there. And I said, well, anyway, I couldn't get over there to find out. Bottom line was, David from Bucky's, if you're out there, I just want you to know I stopped by and looked for you. But I also had some pretty epic sandwich stuff and jerky and
cool.
Shop for pickled eggs, all that stuff.
I'm sure you'll be back and maybe see him next time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let me go back to serious business. Very serious. You know what? Now that I've been just kind of chuckling about something, it feels weird to go back to a very serious story. All right, this one's from Daily Wire. It's only 3 days old. I don't even like talking about this. This is not only ticks me off, it's just gross. The Biden administration appears to be repurposing a federal program aimed at helping kids in the foster care system to transition to adulthood, instead using the taxpayer dollars to help them transition to the opposite sex. I look at this, I thought, surely not. Surely there's somebody saying that could be happening. No, there's official policy. You're paying for this, by the way. It says Biden's Department of Health and Human Services is now saying the federal taxpayer dollars can be spent towards buying what it calls, quote, personal items that support a, quote, youth's expression of their gender identity. Things like chest binders for girls and what they call packers, which is something that a girl can put in their pants to make it look like they're a guy. Prosthetic devices for girls to use so they can actually use the men's room. I mean, it's just like you look at this and go, my God. And this is your Biden's Department of Health and Human Services. So a document from what's called the Children's Bureau, which is a federal agency under the HHS, now reveals that federal funds can in fact be used for child welfare agencies to, quote, support the provision of services, interventions, and supports to the LGBTQ2IA+ children. The document is actually titled, quote, federal funding to support lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, asexual, two-spirit, plus, children, youth, young adults, and families. Explains that child welfare funds can now be used to encourage children to attempt to change their sex. We are now subsidizing with taxpayer dollars the abuse of children and the grooming thereof. That's the kind of thing that our society is going to be held account for. There's going to come a day. I hope we can fix this before we have to stand before the throne, if you know what I'm saying. I hope that we can fix this. But there's going to come a day in the future, I pray, when common sense will look back on this time and wonder what in God's name this era was doing to children. This is beyond a first world problem. This is just madness. This is a sickness. This is a grooming. This is an abuse. and it's your taxpayer dollars paying for it. So the program is originally called the Chaffee Funding Program. It was formed by John H. Chaffee. It was a foster care program to help get kids what they needed to get into adulthood after leaving the foster care system and all that. Well, now it's being used for something entirely different. And it says that this one particular group has said that this is exactly what they wanted. The group is called the National Center for Youth with Diverse Sexual Orientations and Gender Identities and Expressions. And they say in one of their guiding documents that now we can use welfare agencies to purchase gender-affirming items for young people in our care. There you go. And the organization's list includes both binders and packers, as well as a range of other strange and unusual items to include special undergarments and other things that there's an entire freaking cottage industry out there to build fake parts and bad underclothing so that kids can be told that there's something that they're not. And when you call this gender affirming care, that is a lie of the devil. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I feel like an old school Baptist preacher right now. Hey, I was ordained Southern Baptist. Why not? But the reality is this. This is a friggin' lie of the devil. This is literally you saying to a child, we're affirming you. No, you're not. You're non-affirming them because they were made a certain way and you have told them they're a mistake. I said this yesterday on the show. There's no other place in the world, no other mental disorder in the world where we are required to get into the mental disorder to cure it, apparently. That's what's happening. They're telling us the only way to treat this is to get into it and to affirm what they say, not to try and help them out of it. Well, I differ with that. How about no? How about no, and how about no, you're going to bring back a nub if you keep reaching for our kids? That's what we need to be in that stance, because Representative Jim Banks, Republican from Indiana, he told the Daily Wire the Biden administration has what he called a, quote, unsettling obsession with the personal lives of children. He says, quote, bureaucrats in the Biden administration seem obsessed with the personal lives of vulnerable children. It's creepy. He says, when Secretary Becerra testifies, House Republicans have to make him answer for his attacks on parents' rights and his attempts to push harmful gender procedures. Folks, we have to take a stand for these kids. And listen, the only way this is going to change, by the way, is a change in administration. If somebody out there is like, well, I just don't like Trump, I guess I'll have to vote for Biden because I don't like. Think about the policies that are coming out of D.C. right now. It is literally satanic. There is nothing about this. This is sacrificing your kids to Moloch right here. I've looked at the Bible before and thought, how in the world does any society ever get to the point that it sacrifices its children? That's gross. That's awful. Look at where we are. I'm on fire right now. I'm mad. All right, listen, we're going to come right back, and I'm going to let somebody else talk for a minute. Chairman John Wall, the Alabama Republican Party, calling in. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two, and we're about to bring a friend on the line. But I got to tell you, we just had breaking news, like in the last few minutes, that the attempt to unionize the plant at Mercedes by the UAW has failed. Has failed. I am ecstatic. It has failed. So the plant will not be unionizing. Of course, they're turning their attention to Hyundai also here in Alabama. But I'm telling you right now, that is big doings right there, and I am glad of it, and I appreciate the workers voted 56-44, apparently. It was a pretty good-sized jump, so I'm glad to hear it. Listen, we're going to bring on somebody right now who has been neck deep in what it takes to do conservative things for the state of Alabama, and that's our friend John Wall. John's been on the show many times. He's the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, but he is also a member of the Alabama Public Library Service Board. And we talked earlier about the fact that they had a great meeting yesterday. So without further ado, John Wall, how are you doing?
I am doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Well, thank you. Did you hear, by the way, a moment ago when I said we just got word that the UAW's vote at Mercedes failed?
I did hear that, and I'm excited for those workers. Unions are an important part of a free market system. But what we've seen unions turn into in this country is organizations that do not stand up for the workers anymore. They stand up for the elite and the Democrat Party.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, it's also, I think, good for Alabama. I think that preserves our ability for economic development and other things. So that's, anyway, great stuff. All right, listen, that's not why you came on the show, but I just thought you would probably appreciate knowing that happened. All right, so hey, John, you're on the Alabama Public Library Service Board. I believe you were appointed by Governor Ivey, am I right?
That is correct. So representing the 5th District up here in North Alabama.
Well, I'll ask you a question that I believe I've asked you before. Did you ever in all your born days imagine that a library board could become that controversial?
I didn't. You know, when I first got appointed, it was about the most boring board in the entire history of the universe. And then about 6 months after I was on that board, everything blew up, and it has been a wild ride ever since.
Well, you know, you and my friend Amy Minton and others have been literally holding the line against some pretty amazing pressures. I mean, you guys have been called everything under the sun, and you're extremists, and you're Nazis, and you're book burners, and you're book banners, and you're just some awful people, apparently. And lo and behold, you still prevailed. And I appreciate, first of all, I'll say it right now, I appreciate you hanging in there.
Well, you are more than welcome. And look, you know a lot about a person by who their enemies are. And I'm going to say this, the people who are throwing those insults are the people like the president of the American Library Association,
yeah,
who is an open Marxist.
Yeah.
So it's not even an insult to call her a Marxist. She's proud of it. And that would be one of the insults that would be most troubling if I was ever called a Marxist. So I believe at least we have the right enemies. That's the important thing when you're in a political struggle, and really more than a political struggle. This is not about politics. This is about, you know, not about Marxism or Republicanism or Democratism. This is about a fundamental battle between light and darkness, between just what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And sometimes, though, you have to force right. And you guys were in a position where you kind of had to force right. And I appreciate, by the way, in doing that, you guys were very methodical. I don't think anyone's going to be able to say later on they were denied due process or the ability to have their voices heard. I mean, you guys had public hearings. You took in over 6,400 public comments. But in the end, you still voted openly for change. And talk about the policies y'all put in place.
Well, and it was important change. You know, and this is what I think is so important about government in general. It's so important that government listen to their constituents and actually go past just what may be the easiest thing to do and actually get to what is good policy and what helps the people of our districts and our state.
Yeah.
And what this policy does is very simple. It says, if you're every library in the state of Alabama, in order to receive state funds, they have to remove sexually explicit material out of the children's sections, period. And that is long overdue.
Yeah.
And I am so proud and so excited that Alabama now has one of the strongest policies on protecting children in the entire country.
I said earlier that I really feel like y'all just became a nationally known entity. I mean, you set a tone here that I think others can find in terms of model, you know, not legislation, but in this case, model regulation. And that's huge. And I love the fact that you did. Now, is it going to be challenged?
Well, you know, one thing that you brought up that I think is very important is I did not take the wording of this policy for granted. This was something that I had put countless hours of work into, making sure every word was correct, making sure that everything, you know, had a legal foundation. And the bottom line is, we regulate across the entire country. This is a kind of a fundamental thing since the beginning of time. We protect children. We as a society, we as a people, we as parents, we as families, we as government, whether that's, you know, rating movies or rating video games,
yeah,
or TV shows or not allowing them to drink or smoke. And I don't think there's a legal argument you can make of why you can do those other things, but all of a sudden you can't protect children in library sections? No. I think if we are sued, I think we prevail, and I think common sense wins the day. And yesterday was a good day for the people of Alabama, and making sure the parents know, are assured that the APLS board cares about them, and we're going to make sure their libraries are safe places for their kids.
Outstanding. Well, and well, they should. And let me ask you this: that regulation y'all put out, or that proposal to the bylaws change, not proposal, but you voted on it. It's a bylaws change. That doesn't affect local funding, does it?
No. So that would only be the APLS board only has authority over state funding. So that would be state aid, which is based, you know, which is given to every local library, but it would only be the state aid component.
Do you have any idea, like on the average, how many libraries live off of state funding as opposed to something local or otherwise?
Most, almost all libraries in the state engage in state funding.
Okay.
So it's split between state and local. Different libraries have different percentages. A lot of the, there are some cities that subsidize their libraries far more. But I'll give you an example. My home library up here in Athens Limestone.
Yeah.
They get roughly, I believe it's 60% of their funding is state funding.
Okay. Wow. All right. So it could have it's a significant carrot and stick then.
Correct. Which is important. Look, this is what the feds do all the time. And the liberals love to use this top-down approach of, you know, using funding and money to make sure that their agendas are done. And that's why they're screaming so loud when now it's being used against them. But this is not new. This is normal. And this is a role where government has not just the right, but the duty to make sure that our children are protected, they're safeguarded from inappropriate material, and that their constituents, the consumers of the libraries, can feel secure with the books that are involved.
Well, so I guess real quick to wrap it up, because I want to ask you something else on politics, but the practical application here, how does it come about? Does the library board go and do inspections? Do you have if somebody reports, then you investigate, and then when do you withhold the funds? And how do they have correction opportunities for that matter?
Yeah. So there is there's a pretty good mechanism here. One, that's the first section of the code. The second part says they also cannot purchase these books in the future, which is very important. Like, you can't use taxpayer money to purchase consumer material with sex explicit material that's advertised for consumers under 18.
Okay.
The third component is there also any child who gets a library card has to get parental consent in some form or fashion before checking books out of the adult section.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's a full protection of our children, and it was voted on yesterday, passed. It is scheduled to go into effect July 17th.
Okay.
And then from there, local libraries will have it. There's also another component within the policy section that are required by the APLS. Local libraries already have a checklist of things they're required to give in order to receive state aid. This is going to be added to that list, and they'll have to present policy to the APLS board before they're put on the list that would receive state aid. And they have probably until the December timeframe to get that in order.
Okay. That's comprehensive and well thought out. And I'll be honest with you, I know too that the Governor Ivey sent some of this proposed language over, but y'all even amended it and made it more specific. Am I correct?
That is correct. So, and a lot of this, and I want to thank the governor for being involved in this and calling this issue out and kind of starting the ball rolling. And that was the policy requirements, the requiring libraries to have those policies in place. That then allowed the amendment, and I think they go very well together. My amendments yesterday work hand in hand with Governor Ivey's original policy changes, and I think they complement each other, make each other stronger, and really make sure that the children of Alabama are protected.
Well, that's great stuff. And listen, I can't tell you again how much I appreciate you and the other members of the board hanging in there, putting up with a lot of stuff that you would never would have imagined to put up with to be on a library board. But you stood in the gap for kids, and that's exactly what we have to do. We have to be willing. Our kids are our greatest resource. They are a gift to us. And if our society just sits back and lets things happen, then we'll be held to account for that later. I really believe it.
Oh, amen. Amen. And there is a battle being waged against them right now. The attempts to indoctrinate and destroy the morality of our children is very much in full force right now.
Yeah, it's an agenda item, really. It really is. Hey, listen, I tell you what, John, we didn't even get to talk politics. Do you have the ability to hang on through a break and to spend a couple more minutes with us? Would you be able to do that?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, well, tell you what, we'll do that. We'll take a break right now, and then I'm going to ask him to switch hats altogether and be the chairman of the Republican Party. So, we're with John Wall, Alabama Republican Party, but also a member of the Alabama Public Library Service Board. We'll switch gears, come back and talk about, presidential debates, maybe. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Going right back to the phones right now with John Wall. And, hey, John, I'm going to ask you to switch hats. Go ahead and put on your chairman of the Alabama Republican Party hat for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have now debates lining up.
Mm-hmm.
It appears
at least two.
Hopefully
more.
That's my question. So right now, Biden has set the standard for what he wants and what he will do, and we're getting CNN's Jake Tapper, and then we're going to have ABC later in the year. Are we going to have any opportunity here for a debate that's going to be with what I would call a more conservative moderator?
The Biden administration is very much playing hardball on this. I don't even like some of the concessions that were made on these first two debates. The number one being that there are no guests allowed, no audience. And I think that's just so disappointing. What audience helps the candidates feel their support. It helps the candidates feel when they maybe say something wrong. It's part of the debate experience to have an audience. And I just think that's a very disappointing decision, and it really highlights, I think, the Biden administration and the fact that they're afraid of the public. There's no other way to look at this. They are afraid to have average, everyday Americans in a room with them who will react to their policies.
Well, and I look at it, too, and I can't help, and I don't want to pretend like I really do know Joe Biden's diagnoses or whether he has a true dementia issue, but I can tell you that external stimuli can often be unsettling for someone who is struggling with those issues. And you know what? They've just made this almost like he's doing a debate in a bubble.
Absolutely. And it's much easier to have a more – look, Joe Biden is strongest in a teleprompter environment. In fact, usually he reads things like applause when he's not supposed to, or the end. So, the closer you can get to that environment, the more comfortable he will be. And I know there's been multiple Biden aides who have commented on this, and one who said outright that the president has trouble hearing, and they're worried that crowd noises would make it where he could not hear. I wonder about a crowded military room in the case of a military emergency. How would our president hear in that situation? Yeah. These are troubling questions. If you can't handle a live audience in a debate, how are you going to handle our country?
Well, and yeah, you could almost say that about a lot of things. If you can't handle, not just debate, but if you can't handle just making decisions, if you can't handle a teleprompter, if you can't, I don't know, handle getting your conference lined up to get certified for the vote before we have to, actually have the ballots created in Alabama, then you want to run the country.
If you can't run your campaign, how are you going to run the country?
That's exactly
right. Perhaps that is why the country is not being ran. It is being run into the ground.
Well, so these debates that are coming up, there's a lot of speculation, and I don't know that there's anything that we can say except speculation on it. But you look at it and go, okay, we're going to have the first debate. I said yesterday, I think we're going to have the first debate. I question whether we'll get to the second debate. And I say that because I think they're going to find a way for him to say, well, we just can't get on the stage with that man because he's not beneath the office. And they'll find a reason not to do it twice. I think it's going to be imperative upon President Trump to come in and be what I would call the more calm, cool, and collected version of Trump than the time we saw him debate in the last election where he got really, just reckless with him. And I think it hurt his campaign that time.
I would agree. And I think we are seeing a little bit of a new Trump in a lot of ways. Still bold, still brash, but maybe not going that over that line. And I hope we continue to see that. And I think it's very important to debate that he does that. He needs to talk to the American people, not to his opponent. That is so key in a debate. Remember, you're not actually talking to the person across from you.
Yeah.
You're talking to the millions of people who are watching.
Well, I think it's huge. I think the very fact, though, that the Biden administration called for it may indicate, too, they also recognize the polling is not where they want it to be, and they realize they're going to have to do something. Otherwise, it's going to run away from them.
Well, they have to take this gamble, and I think you're right. I think we will see both debates. I think Biden gets in a very trapped position if he doesn't, because he's already agreed to them. I know the Trump team are very, already saying they want to do more. They believe the American people should have that opportunity. It's an American tradition to have that open dialogue and open debate before a presidential election. And I hope we see more. I think these are incredibly important for the public. And I think as time continues, it becomes even more important.
Well, I agree. And so now you've laid it out that you think we're going to have both of these that we're talking about now, scheduled debates. I think we're going to have the first one only. So if I'm right, you owe me dinner. And if you're right, I guess we'll figure it out. I'll owe you dinner.
All right. Well, if I'm wrong, I will owe you dinner and I will come on the show and publicly apologize. We'll figure something for you to do for me. I don't know. I don't know what it'll be, but I'll have something by the time we get there.
I like my steaks medium, just so you know.
Okay. Confidence. I like it.
All right. Well, John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and also, by the way, a member of the Alabama Public Library Service Board. We appreciate you as always. We'll have you on again soon. All right, he's gone. All right, thank you much. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all have talked about Alabama. And I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in. Just for good measure. All right. Hey, we're going to call an audible, by the way, at the top of the hour. I just got in touch with somebody who has actually been on the show before, but a good friend of mine happens to be one of the lead attorneys in the nation on issues related to unionization efforts in manufacturing plants. He travels the nation dealing with this stuff, and he's been heavily involved in the education effort for the workers on the things that can and cannot happen if a union becomes the thing. And so with the UAW vote just coming out, we'll have Mike Perkins on at 4 o'clock and give us some of his thoughts on, is this over? And I think there's actually still more to come. I don't think we're quite done yet. But nonetheless, it's still been a good day so far. I'm going to wrap up this section that we're in, though. Do it for the kids. And I just asked Big Rig. I said, the resources. I forget to mention to this. So here's the thing. I've had this article, the one that got me so fired up a while ago. All of the resources for every day's show are on the website. And so if you hear me rattling paper, that paper is available to you to check out. So you can go to www.rightsideradio.org, and on the live stream page, right above the screen where you can see me sitting in the studio overdressed for radio right now, there's a button that says resources. You click on it. The links to every story I'm talking about are on there. I think this is one you may want to pass around to your friends. It's a Daily Wire story. It's the one I talked about earlier where it says that your taxpayer dollars are now going to be used in the Department of Health and Human Services for foster children to get things like chest binders and, you know, prosthetics that girls can pretend that they're boys. And it's sick. But anyway, this whole thing, including quotes from the Department of Health and Human Services themselves, are all in there. That story is amazing. It just came out in the last couple of days. I don't see the mainstream press picking it up enough yet. The story I'm talking about is on Daily Wire. And so I encourage you, check out that story. It is worth the read. It is worth sending to people. It's worth posting on your social media. It's worth making the world aware. Let me finish up a couple more stories in there, though, because I wanted you guys to know. So some of our audience is in multiple states. You know, we have people like Rayson from Hawaii still checks in quite often. You know, Jeff from Indiana drives through and drives out, but he listens to the show regularly every day. We've got Jerome in Rome. We've got, we got people in South Carolina and all over the place, Florida. So I want to make sure that I touch on some things that happen in and around and amongst us. Mississippi. So NBC News has a story. Came out 3 days ago. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves just signed a bill into law that will bar transgender people from using bathrooms that correspond with their gender identities in public schools. Good for him. I really like Tate Reeves, by the way. The guy so far is proving himself to be quite the conservative. And I think that, I mean, it's one of those things where I look at like the teams of people. If governors get together, what they can do, and you're looking at people like, you know, Ron DeSantis and Tate Reeves right here next to each other. Well, Bill Lee up in Tennessee's got some stuff going on too. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But in Mississippi, the legislation was called Securing Areas for Females Effectively and Responsibly, otherwise known as the SAFER Act. That's a good acronym. Mandates that state schools have single-sex restrooms, changing rooms, and dormitories. It
its text, the text of the bill, defines someone's sex as what is determined solely by birth, without regard to any fluidity or how someone feels. He said it's to keep Mississippi's daughters safe. That's his personal quote. He said it's mind-blowing, Governor Tate Reeves said, it's mind-blowing that this is what Joe Biden's America has come to. Having to pass common sense policies that protect women's spaces was unimaginable a few years ago, but here we are. We have to pass a law to protect women in bathrooms and sororities and locker rooms, dressing rooms, shower rooms, and more. Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable. But there it is, and I'm glad they did, because we have to do it for our kids. Now, Governor Bill Lee, just to our northern border, all of our listeners out there like Steve from Tennessee, in Tennessee, you might want to know that just a couple weeks ago, Governor Bill Lee signed a new law. And by the way, this article that I've got right here, I pulled this off a website that finds this to be offensive. WPIN, and I don't know, I guess that's a news station up in Tennessee. But this is the way libs think, right? This is what libs say. Tennessee teachers may now be required to out their transgender students to their parents. Horrors. Let me get this straight. If you tell a parent something about their child, you've outed them. You put them at risk. There's wrong on several layers built into that whole scenario. So the legislation requires schools to alert their parents if their child has requested to go by a name or set of pronouns that differs from what's on the school forms that the parents filled out. Why is that offensive? Why is that wrong? Short answer, it's not. The bill's sponsor says parents have a right to know what goes on in their child's school. Imagine that. Parents have a right to know what goes on in their child's school. God forbid. What were we thinking? Representative Justin J. Pearson, who, by the way, has turned into quite the activist. He was part of the whole, the three that got ousted from the state legislature in Tennessee, and he's back in. And he, every day is an activist moment for him now. He got his little touch of glory, and now he can't stand to not be in the limelight. His words were, "We have a responsibility and an obligation to make sure schools are safe for children to learn in." Okay. And a part of that is to ensure that who they are and their identities are welcomed and supported. No. If every child comes to school and tells you what they want, you have to affirm it. I believe I should be able to eat candy for lunch every day. No. I believe I should get double recess every day. No. I believe I shouldn't have to do my homework. No. I believe that I'm a boy, not a girl. No. And by the way, we're going to tell your parents you didn't do your homework. We're going to tell your parents that you made certain demands. We're going to tell your parents that you keep, trying to not eat lunch every day or eat it wrong. And we're going to tell your parents when you come to school and say, "I want my name to be Johnny." That's not wrong for us to do that. ACLU has warned that legislation such as this, called outing of children, poses a serious danger to trans kids. No, it doesn't. It poses a danger to the friggin' trans agenda. That's what it poses a danger to. How is it a danger to kids for their parents to understand what's happening? Listen, y'all, we have to take these stands. Trans people are more likely to be abused, says the ACLU, by their immediate family based on their gender identity. Now, see, here's the deal. What do they call abuse? "I want my name to be Johnny." Jenny, we're not going to do that. And there are some who believe that's abuse. Listen, here's the answer. Jenny, when you turn 19 and leave the house, you can call yourself Johnny and we won't be able to change it. But we love you anyway, and we're not going to stand for that here in this house. And we're going to tell you why, and we're going to keep on loving you. And oh, by the way, while you're living under our roof, it's also our rules. I mean, if they have a conversation like that, why would anybody care? Well, what they're scared of is, well, they're going to go home and get beaten. Now, you don't know that. I can't change the fact that there are some bad parents out there. But the bad parents also aren't going to be the ones who care what happens at the school. Anyway, bottom line is Tennessee took a stand, and I think that's great. And liberals are freaking out because Now they're not allowed to lie about the kids. I mean,
good.
I know. Good on you, Tennessee. And thank you, Governor Bill Lee. And thank you, Governor Tate Reeves. And thank you for taking a stand for our kids. I had a bunch of text messages. Let me get a couple of them. Some of these are going to be a mixed bag of things, and we'll catch up here. With Raven for Russellville says 1776 is going to come again. He says the real truth is the devil's a murderer and the father of lies. It's in the book. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Ronnie from Danville says, Mr. Phil, he says, good men have been quiet too long. Thank you for speaking up. Know why the news doesn't cover a baptism at a church. We don't invite them. Take all the men that change themselves into a woman to a Muslim country. They won't last long if you do that. JT from Lacey Springs talking about the union vote at Mercedes. I saw it. Yes, sir. Pat from Huntsville says the same. UAW voted down. Yes, sir. Duff from Huntsville says, Duff, that's a topic I'm not about to go into, but thank you. And then he says something about the union thing. He says, right decision voting against the union. Union sounds good on paper. When they come in and try to set it up, the union will raise your will take your raise that they get you and then increase your union dues. You think the management is for you against the before? Think about what it's going to be when the union comes in. Chow from Madison says, regarding gender dysphoria, and sends a link that I can't go to right now because I'm on the air, but says the evidence has been growing that there are environmental factors that are contributing to this. We should be working to address this problem from the scientific evidence that has emerged. Okay, I don't know what you mean. I would say that a big part of what's happening with gender dysphoria is also social pressures. Things like TikTok is wearing kids out with the idea. I mean, when you've got, and I'll talk about it in a little while on the next Dipper if I get to it, ABC is about to do an entire documentary. They're pumping it big time. It's homosexuality in the animal kingdom. Really? Yes. Oh, all the evidence is there. Look, even the animals have gay people or gay animals. Okay, you can see inside the mind of a dog and you can determine that they are actually gay, but they're going to have an entire documentary and present all the evidence, ABC is, as to why homosexuality is so real that even the animals recognize it. Wow. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. I'll come back and get some more text messages and catch you up a little bit on the UAW news. I'll check on it during the break. And then top of the hour, yeah, we're going to call an audible. I got a guy named Mike Perkins calling in who's going to square us up on what he knows about the whole situation with the UAW. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, making common sense like a superpower. Listen, it's going to be fun to see where the UAW thing goes. The vote did take place. The vote came out in favor of non-unionization. I suspect there may be a challenge, but we'll wait and see because the UAW likes to challenge everything. But we'll just see where the chips fall. Let me grab a few more text messages real quick. Devin from Brownsboro talking about that conversation we just had with John Wall. He says, I, for one, cannot wait for debate with Biden, I guess he's what he's trying to say. Even with all their demands, Trump has shown that he is fearless and is willing to walk into the den. There's no doubt in my mind that even with all the cards stacked against him, he will still come out on top. Trump and McQueen in 2024. Thanks, Devin. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I like my steaks rare and bloody. I wonder how Indiana Jeff likes his fish steaks. I don't think he likes them rare and bloody. I don't recommend that. He says, do they have fish jerky at Bucky's? I don't know. I don't know. And then John points out, thank you, John, for pointing out the technicals. We don't know what happened, but yesterday, the last few minutes of the show just went quiet. So he says, in case you didn't hear the grades, Lee from Huntsville was the winner. I actually was reading the grades out when I realized that Big Rig was texting me saying, you're off the air. And I don't know. We don't know why. We had a glitch in the software. There's a software we use called Clean Feed when we're doing remote. And for some reason, Clean Feed decided it was done for the day. It just happened to be at the end of the show. But anyway, it was still a great show. Glenn from Bluntsville says, sounds like we had a bunch of ungodly people in our government. Some voted in and some not. Yeah, so you're right. There are regulatory bureaucrats who like to put their agendas out there. But I can tell you right now, part of that is the leadership they are under. It just is. It just There's no way around that. It just is. Jeff from Indiana says, Jeff from Indiana sends me a meme. What you got? A jar of pickled eggs.
Yeah, that's what I'm laughing at over here. What? The pickled eggs.
There's something settling in the bottom of that jar. Is it Jeff, is this sitting on your dashboard of your truck right now? It looks like he's got this thing sitting. Please tell me you don't like drive down the road, fishing your hand down inside that nasty jar of pickled eggs that has some sort of strange sediment in the bottom of it.
They're called dude eggs.
They're called what?
Dude eggs.
Why are they called dude eggs?
It says ready to eat.
Oh, I see. He always sent us the lid.
It's got the ingredients.
The original
on it.
Dude eggs. Oh, so what's that? I was about to say it looks like pepper. That's crushed red pepper in the bottom. Eggs, vinegar, crushed red pepper, hot pepper, and salt. And no friends. And you spent $19.99 for that jar from Geraldine, Alabama. Well, at least they're grown locally.
Hope he has a fish sandwich to wash that down with.
God, this is like this is like just designed to do nothing but just ruin life. Bob from Madison on a more serious topic says, I bet the pedophiles love this cross-gender stuff till we started outlawing it. Yeah, no doubt. There's that. Brand new texter in the line, Justin from Moulton. Justin, we're glad you're a part of it. He says, regarding that ABC documentary, if we begin to look to the animal kingdom to justify our immoralities, then we could justify all sorts of terrible things like eating our young, necrophilia. Animals do things that people don't. That's a great point. That's an excellent point. So, Justin, thank you for joining the text lines. We're glad of it. All right, so going back, by the way, we're going to come up top of the hour. I'm going to call an audible. It's not part of the dippers. It's what I would call an audible dipper. How about that? Mercedes-Benz workers over there in Vance just voted down the UAW. So unofficial results are in. It looks like we're at 56% voting against the unionization. National Labor Relations Board, of course, was involved. They had a good turnout, I guess. 2,045 workers voted to join. 2,642 workers voted against. That was a pretty good spread. I mean, they're basically 600 over. So it was a total of right now tallied at 56 to 44 against. And that's great. Governor Ivey's already issued a statement. She says the workers in Vance have spoken. They've spoken clearly. Alabama is not Michigan, and we are not sweet home to the UAW. We urge the UAW to respect these results of the secret ballot election. I'm proud Alabama is home to some of the greatest automakers in the world, and I'm grateful to these companies who provide good pay, benefits, and opportunities to many men and women across the state. And then she says, as I have said, automotive manufacturing is one of Alabama's crown jewel industries, number one in the country, and we are committed to keeping it that way. So the UAW is already grousing over it. They lost. They don't like losing. Who does? But then again, they don't handle it well. A UAW spokesman said in a statement this week, the workers in Vance were subjected to brutal months-long campaigns of legal intimidation illegal intimidation, they say, by management and outside anti-union consultants hired by Mercedes. So you can come in and say whatever you want. You can misuse Nick Saban's image. You can misuse the logos and the branding of the University of Alabama and of Auburn University. You can lie to the workers about what's going to happen. And then you can also issue statements that say that you support the pro-Hamas protesters on college campuses. That's okay. Mercedes can't say anything. Unreal. Unreal. Okay. Glenn from Bluntsville just texted in and says, I'm going to help you get your mind off of Jeff's pickled eggs. Just think about those maple bacon donuts. Ah. I do feel better, even now. JT Lacey Spring says, if yesterday you were in Dale's beer basement, a mouse chewed the cord. Oh. And then Penny from Athens is sending me a scary picture of a cicada. Okay, thanks.
It looks pretty scary.
And by the way, that is a cicada from Mars right there. All right, listen, we're going to come right back. Calling on Audible, we're bringing on a guy named Mike Perkins, who's an attorney who specializes in efforts on unionization. We'll see what his thoughts are and where we head next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.